All right, here we go. It's November. You know, we've taken a couple weeks off of this show because of midterm elections, and then we had an extra Wednesday in October. So it's nice to be back. And this week we're speaking with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Good to see you again. And
yeah.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here with you. You know, I appreciate you guys traveling around and doing this. It really, I think it's important to get the message out. So I'm always game for being able to get some information out to the public. And so thank you guys for doing it.
Great, great, great. Well, speaking of elections, unprecedented turnout. And I know we've talked about elections a lot since we've done this show. And it was always a point of emphasis about go vote. You know, turnout is so low. And finally, Vigo County, 44%, Monroe County, 57%, NPR calling it a 50-year record. Isn't it nice to see some higher numbers?
It is. You would think like it would be that way all the time. A slow year would be 50%, but it is great because people need to be engaged in the process. They really do. And I know everybody's busy. You know, I hear all the excuses why I just couldn't quite get in there to vote, but it's just so important that you're, you know, a part of this and you're selecting the leaders of whatever level it is, from local all the way to the White House. To be putting good leaders in place. And the only way you can ensure that is to get out and vote. And so the numbers were phenomenal.
There were some big races here in Vigo County. One I wanted to mention, the city's police chief, John Plassey, who is now the Vigo County sheriff-elect. So there'll be some moving of things around here January 1st.
I'll be appointing a new police chief for the Terre Haute Police Department. And then John will be taking over as the sheriff, and he's going to do a great job over there. So, you know, it'll be a great partnership. We have a great partnership now, but I would look for that to continue and to blossom even more with John being over there, and just happy for him. And it works out for the community.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about that because this next year will be a critical time for Vigo County with the new jail and so forth. So you're
a lot of hot topics.
Yes, will kind of come all together.
Absolutely.
And you are pretty happy the fact that he was elected sheriff.
Yeah, I think he's going to be great for the community. And yes, they've got the jail, and you know we want to keep combating the drugs in our community and the crime. And you know, we're all in this together, and so it's great to have good people continue to serve in important positions like that to make sure we're all on the same page, we're all working together to make it a better community.
Did anything else kind of stand out at you? You know, that this election, people were talking about a blue wave, we saw a red wave. I mean, there were a lot of storylines.
I know. I mean, I think the media was really playing up a blue wave, and I get why you would think that was probably likely to happen, but I still felt deep down inside there were a lot of people that are happy with the way things are going, and so you had a mix. You had some people coming out to vote who don't always vote in this particular election cycle that made their voice heard, and so I think things were kind of split in a lot of ways, you know, both sides gained, both sides lost. You know, losing Congress from the Republican side, I think that was kind of expected. When you have 45 Republican representatives who retired, you know, that's hard to defend that turf, and a lot of good Democrat candidates out there. So that one didn't surprise me at all. And then here locally, things played out kind of the way I thought they might. We've got, you know, three Republicans on the county council now. I don't know when the last time that happened, but it's just good to have some balance and some, you know, different people from different parties, because once again, there's good candidates on both sides, and the community selected people they want to lead us forward, and I think they're all good picks.
Yeah, I have to throw this out there. Of course, next year is a mayoral race here in Terre Haute.
That's right. Go ahead, sorry.
Is it too early to ask about your intentions?
I'll be making an announcement soon. So I kind of wanted to get through that election cycle. I don't think it's, I mean, it's inappropriate, I think, to try to be a part of that, to overcome that. They have their time, we have our time. Now that that's behind us, then I'll be talking about my future here very shortly.
You've talked a few times about financing a new police station here in Terre Haute. And it seems like it was picking up steam the last few times we talked. Are things starting to happen more on that?
And it continues to pick up steam. You know, we've had some discussions with the county about possibly locating it, you know, by the jail. And those kind of just been casual conversations more than anything, because our best place is really where we're at now, there at 13th and Wabash. And so we continue to kind of move forward with that planning side of it, but it's the financial side is where the main progress has been made. And so we just got some updated information last week that's going to be real helpful to us. And our bond rating process is underway right now with S&P, so we expect to hear something back in the coming weeks from them. And just everything's coming together to allow us to put the financing in place, and hopefully, and the goal is to get construction started in the spring.
So we have to talk about the jail. It's just a big news item here. It's making headlines and papers all over the state, not just here in Terre Haute. Commissioners are seeking a rezone of the paper mill area. But that's not really the definite pick yet, is it?
Well, that's where they would like to be. So the question will be, if the council decides not to rezone it, then they're going to have to pick another location, obviously. So right now, that's their number one site that they're pursuing. Been on the table for a long time. It just hasn't come to a position to have a vote then. And so recent developments required it to be go through the zoning. That's the legal way to make that happen. So it'll be on the council agenda for next month. And then if the council votes it up and says yes, then that will be the new location for the jail. If the council votes it down, they'll have to go to Plan B, which they haven't really announced what the second thing on the list is.
Sure, and this is the Vigo County Council.
The city council has to vote on the zoning. No.
The city council votes on the zoning.
Yes, it's in the city of Terre Haute. So in order to utilize that property, it's going to have to be rezoned. And so that will rest with the city council.
Okay. And then from there, it goes to
what happens next then, if they decide to do that, then the county council then will have to go ahead and fund the rest of this project for them to move ahead. But that's kind of the last big step for the location, because they're working on the design. If they get the zoning done, now they'll have to formalize the project and get it funded, get it built.
And I saw a report about groundbreaking already being planned in July. Is that possible with...
Well, I mean, that's their target. So, yeah, I think it's possible. If that's not the site, they're going to have to move very quickly on a second site. But I guess I think that's very doable.
And I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. When we use the term rezoning, does that just mean that that area needs to be approved to be able to have a jail built there?
Right. So right now it's M2, which is kind of our highest level of... industrial manufacturing kind of an environment, because it was IP before. And now in order to use it for a jail and a sheriff's office, and I think there'll probably be some other facilities there, maybe a mental health and addictions facility, it needs to be rezoned for that.
Some of our reporting a few weeks ago focuses on some lack of involvement with city council members from the county commissioners. Is that an issue?
Well, I think it was primarily one county or city council person that felt that way, because it was that person's district, and they just thought there could be some more communication up front. But I think that's kind of behind us from that perspective, and hopefully they're talking now, and I'm encouraged by some things I've heard. But you know, I don't know what the vote's going to be. Right now, I don't know if it'll pass or not. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen over the coming weeks. There'll be some efforts to find out what everybody's position is and to see if they think that's a good spot or not.
There was some still kind of going back and forth on the size, how many beds, and then how many officers would need to be hired to run the facility. There's so many factors that go in here. Are you confident this is all going to come together?
Yeah, I think they've made a lot of progress recently. You know, in the past, there's been a lot of talk and discussion, but not as much action. Having them go out and hire nearly 30, you know, correctional officers for the current jail that will then carry over to the new jail, that's a big step. Identifying this site as the one they want to go to and getting that in front of the city council for rezoning, that's an important step. And so they're making some very formal pieces of this, checking them off, I guess, off the list, because the judge is wanting them to act on this. And so, you know, they're going to have to keep moving forward. They're meeting this week, you know, with the judge and giving an update. And so I think you're going to continue to hear more and more about this. Not that we haven't heard a lot, but I think you'll hear more about the formal pieces and the final decisions on these last few things that'll make it a reality.
And you're pleased with the paper mill site?
I think it's okay. I want it to be in the city. So right now, that's the only site they've offered. So I support that site because it's in the city. I'm not going to support a site in the county. And so if that's not the right spot, then I'm hopeful they'll pick another location in the city limits, you know, to make it easy for our officers to be able to take people and check them in at the jail. So that's what it's all about, is that efficiency and ease of access.
There were some issues at homecoming this year with Indiana State. Things got a little out of hand. There was a shooting, and the city and university issued some release saying that they were going to look into this and see what they can do in the future. I guess what happened, and what can the city do in something that's such a huge event that takes place over the whole city?
Well, it was something we had not seen before. So this was my 11th homecoming as being the mayor, and you know, I've been around it my whole life. But they have what's called the walk, where people like to go from the different bars and drinking establishments from downtown where the parade is to the stadium where the football game is. And so they've been doing that for a long time. Well, this year it seemed as though we had more people that came in from out of town that weren't really directly connected to the students, weren't interested in the football game. They were more interested in just having a party atmosphere. And so as they marched down Wabash Avenue and got out to the stadium, we had some fights break out after the football game started. So most people had gone into the game. People were out at Tent City on the grounds, and several fights broke out. And we had to respond and assist the ISU Police Department with that. Got that taken care of. Well, then a fight broke out kind of across the street at a gas station, and a gentleman got beat up pretty severely. And then that night we had a party situation that some gunshots took place, and somebody it just wasn't a good situation. And so when you look at homecoming lasting from Monday through Saturday evening, things went great till about 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. And so that's where our focus is going to be, is how we manage that crowd that doesn't go into the game, and how we hopefully reduce the amount of places to drink alcohol. It's not about the, you know, bricks and mortar businesses that are existing. It's these little tents that pop up on empty parking lots. They get a temporary license and they're selling alcohol. You know, we had probably another 8 or 10 that have popped up that we normally had in a typical year. And so we've just got to eliminate some of those opportunities to get so intoxicated before they get to the end. And then from a police perspective, we're going to have to ramp things up, be staged in certain places along the way that we've never had to do before, just to ensure that people have a safe and good time. You know, it's a great event, and just a few people can ruin it for everybody, you know.
Quick update on anything new with the convention center. The only report I've seen is the Larry Bird Museum is going to become a reality.
Yes, that is going to, that's official, that we're going to include that in the convention center space. And so it'll be another destination. The convention center and the museum will make sure that they're both accessible at different times. And that's going to be a great addition to our downtown area. Not anything to tell you quite yet. We've got a meeting coming up next week that I hope they're going to be able to put some more information out. We're working hard behind the scenes. We're just not ready to officially publicly announce the location because we're still doing some due diligence there, but we're getting to the very end here.
And still working on that private developer
with
the hotel and
so forth. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's all seems to be going very well. You know what I mean? But until they're ready to make their announcement and we're ready to make our announcement, that'll be the real formal piece of this. But we just keep getting closer every day. So we'll have some great news very, very soon.
And I bet you're happy to hear about the Holman Center renovation starting this fall, too. I mean, that's a big venue for this area,
It's huge. And, you know, we all use Holman Center to go to ball games, go to, you know, graduations, a variety of activities for the community. So them bringing that up to date is going to be a huge additional improvement to the downtown area.
I don't know if you've had snow lately. I know we had some in Bloomington on Friday.
A little bit, but not much. Just a dusting.
It's like winter is here. Does this affect road construction and projects right now?
We're getting to the end, and so, you know, the asphalt plant will be closing up soon. So that usually brings a lot of it to a halt. We can still do concrete work over the winter, so sidewalks and curbs and some things we'll be doing. But the black topping part will cease here probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we're still focused on Margaret Avenue right now to get that open sometime in December. It's just going to be weather dependent. That's where our focus is. Everything else is pretty much wrapped up or wrapping up. And it's been a great season. I know it's been very inconvenient for people between the utility work and the work we're doing in the city and some bridge work the county's been doing. It's been a mess. And so hopefully here in the next 30 to 40 days, by the end of next month, we'll get things back to normal, at least until next spring. So it's been a great construction season for us.
And Margaret Avenue opening anytime soon?
Well, we hope in December. So that's the goal, is to get it open. long as the weather holds up for a few more weeks, we'll be able to do that. So right now I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we'll be able to get that done and open to the public. And then we'll have to finish some stuff up in the spring, but at least we can get it open and people will be able to get over the trains.
I have to just say, too, on the way up, it was nice to see NDOT finishing up 46 there by through Spencer and in Owen County. Two lanes open through the main thoroughway, and it's been a couple years, I think, of traveling.
There's been a lot of projects around that's just really causing people to have to take detours and backing up traffic, but it's always great when they're over, you know, when the projects wrap up.
And leaf pickup, too, is starting.
Yeah, start next week. We're going to put a schedule out this week. We had to wait till the majority of leaves fell. And, you know, when you look at trees now, some have completely lost their leaves. Some still have leaves, but we're going to get started next week. We'll make one pass and then we'll come back around and kind of hit some touch up areas when we're done.
And you're taking a trip. You're leaving to D.C.
Yeah, I'm going to D.C. for a couple of days this week. You know, we try to go once a year with chamber membership and some other local community leaders just to make sure they hear our voice here in West Central Indiana, talk about the planning processes we're going through, especially our regional planning, talking about you know, possible new prison down here in addition to this prison, maybe someday. We've been talking to them about 10 years, just a variety of things. So we'll be meeting with our senators and our representatives from Indiana, and hopefully be able to talk to some people in the administration about some things, and really just, you know, developing relationships, collaborating, making sure that they know we're out here, and we just would love to have some additional support back in Terre Haute.